everybody. Good day. It's your boy JB Hicks back at it again with the Hip Hop Sports Report podcast. How's everybody doing out there in podcast land? I guess it's not really radio land like they used to say back in Dick Clark's day or whatever, you know. And this one goes out to all the foxy ladies in radio land. Like, I'm not, I don't know. I think that's what they used to say. I'm not that old, so I really don't know. Let me stop right now. Thank you for listening, and I appreciate anybody that listened to the first podcast, downloaded the first podcast, told anybody about the first podcast. It was a smash hit, and it's sweeping the nation, the Hip Hop Sports Report podcast. It's the preseason podcast of the year. Somebody said somewhere. I'm not sure who, but that's beside the point. We got a lot to get to today, ladies and gentlemen. Thanksgiving holiday, so that was the biggest reason why we were a little bit behind on getting this one out. I'm still not exactly sure how we're going to go about doing this on the day-to-day basis, you know, or week-by-week basis. Are we going to do one a week? Are we going to have them longer? Are we going to do them shorter? All the bugs are not worked out yet, ladies and gentlemen, but nevertheless, we had to get something recorded soon because there's a lot of stuff going on right now in the world of sports and hip-hop. So, you know, what better place than the Hip Hop Sports Report podcast to talk about it? Again, you can follow us on Twitter at HHS Reports, and also check us out our website, hiphopsportsreport.com, where you can find our latest article saying what's up to Jay-Z, a shout-out to Jay-Z, I should say, for his 44th birthday. Jacob, man, you hurt. It's hard to believe Jay-Z's 44 years old, man. 44 years old. He's, like, literally been on top of the rap game for 15 years. It's hard to imagine. I mean, I remember, like, I was rocking out to Jay-Z, like, in middle school. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard to believe that he's been in it so long and is still, you know, making moves, and he's still on top of his grind, and he's still setting records and changing the game and changing the paradigm of how we even sell records these days. It's really remarkable stuff. And at the same time, we said rest in peace to Pimp C, of course, legendary Southern MC from UGK, who passed away on December 4th, Jay-Z's birthday back in 2007. And of course, Jay-Z and Pimp C linked forever in time by Big Pimpin', one of the most fun hip hop records ever. And so we went ahead and honored both of those men on our website this week. So you can go ahead and check out that article. And also on there, Jay-Z ranks his albums. He actually went ahead and answered one of the most debated questions by rap fans everywhere. You know, how would you rank Jay-Z's solo albums from 1 to 12? And so Jay-Z actually ranked his number one album in his mind as Reasonable Doubt. Blueprint was number 2, Black Album was number 3, and he kind of goes from there. That's on the website as well. And we also give you our list of Jay-Z's best albums from worst to first. And so go ahead and check that out, hiphopsportsreport.com. Also got to go home this week, or last week, I should say, for Thanksgiving, and got to stay with my future in-laws, so that was cool. Thank you to them, and they were most hospitable last week, so I got to hang out with them and hang out with my lady's extended family as well. That was a blast. We had a lot of fun, and I ate good, and that was much better than staying here at my apartment by myself and eating, you know, I don't know, heating up a pizza or something, or having Hot Pockets for Thanksgiving dinner. That would be terrible. So got to go home, got to eat well, got to see some family and friends, and so that was a lot of fun. Also went to my high school reunion. That was interesting. It's weird because I was really excited to go to my high school reunion for a while, and then as the date drew closer, I was kind of like, this might not be any good, you know. I was feeling a little apprehensive about going to it after a little while. We ended up going, and we got there. We were like 40 minutes late intentionally, and we walk in there, and nobody was in there. And it was just like, really? Like, nobody's coming to this thing? Like, this is going to be brutal. Time went on a little bit. People started filing in, and before you knew it, you know, we didn't get as many people, I think, as we would have liked, or at least as I would have liked. Not as many people showed up, but we still had a good number of folks show up. Some people that I hadn't seen in a long time, some other people that I had kept in touch with over the years, and so it was a lot of fun, though, seeing those folks. I did embarrass myself one time that really stands out anyway.
I saw this guy and I go up to him and he introduces me to his lady and I'm just like, yeah, you know, this guy, he was a really cool dude back in high school, and I just start talking about him and he goes, nope, you got the wrong guy. And I'm like, no. And he's like, no, that's not me. And then he tells me his name and I'm like, oh man, that's embarrassing. I'm sorry. And he was cool about it though. He was cool about it, and his lady was cool about it. And I actually know the guy's sister, so to save face, I immediately ask him about his sister. And I'm like, hey, how's your sister doing? You know, just so he knows that I do remember him on some level, even if I did think he was somebody else. Like, he just looked just like this other guy I went to school with. So I didn't, you know, that was on me. But it wasn't my best moment. But like I said, I did talk to him and his lady, and they seemed okay with it. I'm sure they talked just horribly about me in the car on the ride home, because that's what couples do, right? You go to events and you meet people and you talk to people and you smile on everybody's face, and then you get in the car and then you go, what was the deal with that guy, you know? And then you just laugh about it on the drive home. That's what couples do. So I'm sure we were, or at least I was, the subject of conversation, and I had that coming, because I definitely screwed that up royally. But still, it was a good time. And shout out to everybody that I got to see from my high school graduating class. And hope you guys are all doing well. And I hope you guys check out the podcast and check out the website as well. And many of them already have been. And to those, I say thank you very much. We got a lot to get to today. Let's go ahead and jump right into it. On the hip hop side of things, let's start there. Kanye West. This guy just cannot seem to stay out of the headlines. And I guess that's what he would want, I suppose, on at least on a lot of levels. I mean, he feels like anytime somebody's not saying his name, that something is horribly wrong in the world. He's quickly grown to be one of the most egotistical celebrities that I can ever remember. And I'm a big fan of his work and his music, but he's just taking it to extreme lengths at this point. Recently, he went on The Breakfast Club with Charlamagne Tha God, Angela Yee, DJ Envy over there, Power 105.1, and that was a fascinating interview. I highly urge any hip-hop fan to go ahead and check that interview out. Kanye said a lot of stuff, as he's prone to do, and it was weird. Like, just watching the interview, Kanye's so off the reservation, right? At one point, just watching the interview, it took me to a place where I was like watching myself watch the interview. Like, that's how just out there this dude is, man. And he ends up saying, just, you know, he's just talking all about just money and just ownership and just taking it to the point where, you know, it turns off a lot of people. It turns off a lot of, you know, working class people. It turns off just a lot of everyday people. It turns off people that are even in the limelight, like Charlamagne himself. You know, he told Kanye right to his face, like, yo, man, I'm not rocking with this new you, because you're sitting up here so focused on money and you're just driven off revenue and apparently nothing else. And I think Kanye was trying to take the conversation to another level, but Charlamagne really couldn't, you know, wrap his head around it. And it was just interesting to see those two kind of go back and forth. The first takeaway that I have from that interview was that Kanye is kind of insane. And I think, you know, I think we all know that now for a fact. And it's just weird, because I think you have to reach a certain level of insanity to become famous. You know, they always say there's a thin line between, you know, genius and insanity. And whoever said that is either a genius or possibly insane. But they're right either way. I mean, they're correct. And you just see these certain people, they have to think so outside the box to get to rise to the heights of success that they've attained, that sometimes that fire can burn a little bit out of control. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing with Kanye. I don't know if I'm crazy enough to be famous, y'all. I mean, I feel like I'm a pretty sane person. I think I like to think I have things together, you know, but at the same time, if I want to, you know, really get famous, maybe I got to just start talking sideways. I don't know what I have to do, but Yeezus kind of went on this tangent about how we as in black people need to own things and all that. And, you know, if we don't own this and we don't own that, then we're not going to be successful. And to be honest with you, I kind of feel him on that to a certain extent, which is part of the reason why I started this website and this podcast, and I actually touched on that last week on the first edition of the Hip Hop Sports Report podcast. And so, I mean, I understood where he was coming from on that level. Like, yes, we do need to own more businesses and more business endeavors, more things that are going to generate wealth for black people. And I get that. At the same time, you can't help, when you listen to him, you can't help but feel like a lot of this is just bred out of him getting snubbed by the fashion industry. And so that's, you know, it's like what war are we supposed to fight here? This is like George Bush, you know, George W. Bush taking over for his daddy and fighting his daddy's war. You know, like, we're all supposed to sit here and now fight the good fight against the fashion industry because they won't put Kanye on. And it's like, really? Like, the one point he says, everybody in Atlanta don't go to the Louis Vuitton store in Atlanta or something like that. And it was just this awkward pause. And it's just like, really, dude? Like, you're just really gonna just play up these insecurities that you have and just try to project them on the entire black community just because they won't give you a phone call back? You know, I mean, he's reached pretty, you know, high levels of success, and I think he's a smart guy. He could probably figure out how to get his way into the industry. I don't know. But just the fact that he's trying to call us to action for something that appears to be a petty spat between him and these people in the fashion industry, nobody's really going to get behind that, at least I don't think. And, you know, he's still kind of out of touch when it comes to that kind of stuff. I mean, he's sitting up here talking about how his daughter, you know, he needs to provide for his daughter, and that's the reason why he needs to break into the fashion industry, and that's why he needs to own all of this stuff and why he needs to rake in this fortune, because his daughter's going to starve at night or something like that. And it's kind of like, well, you're a pretty wealthy guy. You are with an extremely wealthy woman who comes from an extremely wealthy family. I think your daughter's gonna be okay. And maybe she would be okay if you weren't going out and renting out Pac Bell Park to propose to your girl. Like, he's over here renting out baseball stadiums. That probably costs a little bit of money. He's got orchestras coming in and playing for her and buying her giant engagement rings. Like, you could be frugal like the rest of us. You know, you don't have to spend all that money to propose to her, you know? But maybe that's why you feel the need that your daughter's gonna go broke. Well, don't do that then. Maybe if you pocketed some of that money that you were gonna spend on this lavish and over the top proposal, maybe she would have a little bit of money for some Similac. That's just me. But and you know, kind of keeping with that, Kanye went on to talk about his relationship with Nike, and you know, and he ended up leaving Nike, we found out after the fact. But, you know, he was talking about his conflicts with Nike and how he just didn't get along, and or at least they wouldn't help him put out his sneakers, and he only put out 2 sneakers in 5 years. And it was, you know, how wildly successful the Yeezy sneaker was, but it wasn't getting the support or backing from Nike. But again, you know, how many non-athletes even have a shoe to begin with? It's only a small handful of guys that even did that. And I believe he does have the creativity to maybe put out some shoes that are successful, and he's proven that to this point. And so maybe he's going to get a greater opportunity to do that with Adidas. At least, you know, it appears that way. Adidas seems to be pretty happy about bringing him into the fold, and Nike apparently moved on rather quickly and has replaced him with Drake, but that's a whole nother situation. But the biggest takeaway that I have from this interview, everybody, was listening to Kanye West, I realized what this really is about, at least in my opinion. This is what his whole thing with the fashion industry and just flying off the handle all the time and getting pissed at everybody constantly. This all comes back to Kanye West wanting to be like one man. And that one man is Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Kanye West thinks he's Michael Jordan, and I think that is at the root of all of his antics. I really believe that. Let me walk you through it. Kanye West, born and raised in Chicago, Illinois, born in the 70s, raised in the 80s, and in the 90s. Right when Michael Jordan, drafted by the Bulls in the 84, winning scoring titles in the 80s, championships in the 90s, became a living legend, became an icon, right? But what is Michael Jordan most known for besides that? Like, from a personality standpoint, on a personality level, what is Michael Jordan most known for? Think about it. He's most known for being an absolute asshole. And everybody knows it. It's the most hilarious thing. Like, it's like all of his friends know it, it seems like. You know, I've talked to people that have met him. They say he's kind of a jerk in person. We always hear the story about Michael Jordan getting cut from his high school team and using that fire and determination and that motivation to make the team the following year and to prove everybody wrong. And everybody says, like, oh, that's so cool. He's out to prove everybody wrong. Well, you know, again, you see that fire for Jordan burning out of control when you watch him get inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame, and he basically takes a half hour to rip everybody that has ever doubted him in his life all the way up until that exact moment. And so, you know, ask Chamillionaire about whether or not he thinks Michael Jordan's an asshole, and let's see what he says about it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, Jordan is always, you know, looking for someone who slighted him, and he's always keeping an eye out for that one person who doesn't believe in him and that doubts him and that says no to him and that says you can't do it, or, you know, or doesn't believe in him. And to his credit, you know, I'm a Michael Jordan fan, so I'm not saying that he's, you know, not the, one of the greatest players of all time, because obviously he is, and he used that fire and that, or that fuel, to motivate him to attain some of the highest levels of success that any athlete or any person has ever seen. Kanye West, I think, believes that he's the same guy, and so he needs to use every bit of doubt that he's ever received, or every no that he's ever received, as motivation. And I think we should all do that on a certain level in life. I mean, I can get on board with that to a certain degree. However, at some point, you got to dial it back a bit, and you got to be able to take some self-inventory and some self-reflection and say, okay, maybe this isn't the best way to do things. Maybe this isn't, you know, maybe I'm going a little bit overboard this time around. And there seems to be no checks and balances with Kanye West. He's got the pedal to the floor all the time. And you see the level of success he's reached in music, and he's getting bored with it. I think that's really what this boils down to. Look at Michael Jordan. He got bored with basketball. And, you know, some people believe that, you know, he got suspended for gambling and all that other stuff. We don't know if that's true or not, but what we do know is that he retired in 1993 at the top of his game and decided to go play baseball. And, you know, he gave it his best shot, and some people believe he could have been a halfway decent ball player. Other believes he was trash. But the point was, he stepped away and he tried something different. And I think that's what Kanye West is doing. He's mastered music, essentially. And now he's trying something different, and he's trying to break into this fashion lane, but he's trying to do it the real way. He's not trying to do it, you know, he's not trying to just get in there and just make a few t-shirts and some sneakers and be content with that. No, he actually wants to do high-end fashion. And so while that's commendable, at the same time, I believe that, you know, he's clearly looking for motivation at any place he can find it, whether it's motivation from Charlamagne the God, whether it's motivation from Taylor Swift fans and the Swifties out there, or whether he's looking for that motivation from this podcast and the words that are coming out of my mouth. He's trying to find anybody that has a problem with him and funnel that into action, because he's bored. He's bored with music. And I think that's, you know, that's what this boils down to. But again, it was just a really fascinating interview. I highly recommend everybody checking it out. And I just don't know if I'll ever get over the fact that the old Kanye West is long gone. The Kanye West that made All Falls Down and Jesus Walks. That dude that we knew back then, the backpacker dude that used to rock with Talib Kweli and Common and them. And, you know, I don't think that guy is the same guy that stands before us today. And, you know what, far be it for me to judge him, because, you know, money and fame can change a lot of people. And I might not be any different. So I'm not in his shoes, so I'm not trying to, you know, cast stones per se, but it's more so just an observation that guy is not the same guy that we all fell in love with 10 years ago. But nevertheless, Kanye West, always a fascinating individual, to say the least. Moving right along, quickly, a couple other things I wanted to touch on. Gucci Mane, Le Flair, burr. Gucci, y'all like my little burr? I don't know. I'm working on it still. After all these years, I haven't quite perfected it, so bear with me. If I mention Gucci, you may hear a burr after that, and that's just what it is, you know, whatever. Gucci, he may be going to prison, y'all, so maybe I won't be saying his name too much in the near future, because he's going to be sitting up in a cell somewhere, it looks like. Gucci, there's so many, I don't even know where to begin. I don't even know where to begin with this story. Gucci Mane charged in federal court on December the 3rd with two counts of possessing a firearm as a felon, and he's facing up to 20 years in prison for two separate accounts, actually. And it stemmed from two separate incidents. Now, if you're not familiar with these incidents, let me tell you about the two people that Gucci allegedly made threats towards. One group of people that he made threats towards with a firearm in hand was the police, right? A lot of people don't like the police, but come on. Yeah, you know, come on. the second group of, or the second individual, I should say, that he threatened was his own lawyer, y'all. He threatened his own lawyer. If you had to make a list of all the people that you should not threaten with a gun, especially if you're a felon, I mean, what does that list look like, honestly? It goes like the president, then the Pope. Beyonce probably is high on that list for some reason. And then if you're involved in the system, or, you know, or you're facing charges, then you have like the judge, individual members of the jury and their families, your own lawyer, and the police department, right? Like, that's pretty much the list. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong, Gucci has never struck me as you know, the most lucid individual or the sharpest pencil in the box, you know what I'm saying? But for him to make threats at the police department and the guy who's trying to get him off, I don't know how you come back from that, y'all. I really don't. And so that's what he's trying to do. That's the mountain he's facing right now. That's what he has to climb. He's got to overcome threatening the police department and his own attorney. And I mean, it's kind of sad, I guess, when you think about it. And but I mean, Gucci's viewed as a dangerous member of the community. I mean, he did murder somebody one time and he got off, I believe, on a self-defense claim. But I mean, maybe this is just a classic example of when keeping it real goes wrong. The old Chappelle Show skit. Gucci just trying to be too real all the time. You know, we saw him flying off the handle on Twitter not that long ago. And maybe he probably tattooed his face again. He probably tattooed a pistol on his face with like a stick figure of himself shooting a police officer or something. I don't know, man. I mean, this dude is just, he's on Mars. He's always been that way. And so Gucci may be going away for a very long time, y'all. So, I mean, if you support him, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. It's not looking good, though. It's not looking good. And speaking of not looking good, Rick Ross. We all remember Rick Ross, right? In case you don't, here's a little reminder.
These niggas won't hold me back. These niggas won't hold me back. These niggas won't hold me back. These niggas won't hold me back.
Well, somebody's holding him back. And I think that somebody's Def Jam Records, because his album got pushed back, y'all. The Mastermind LP that was supposed to drop, I believe, December 17th, has been pushed back. And Ross kind of went ahead and tried to explain himself recently on a radio show, basically saying that it's his doing and that he wants to make a masterpiece, and I guess it's not right yet. And once he makes that classic album, then it will be released to the streets. And this is actually the second time Ross has had an album pushed back. His last two albums, God Forgives I Don't, was also pushed back. It was supposed to come out late in 2011, didn't drop till the summer of 2012. And so now this album, this Mastermind album, is supposed to drop in December. It's gonna get pushed back. We don't know yet of when that will be released. My guess would be the spring at the earliest, but that's just pure speculation on my part. It's funny though, because everything Rick Ross does is funny, first of all. I mean, if you don't have a funny bone in your body if you don't think Rick Ross isn't hilarious. Was that like a double negative or a triple negative? I'm not sure. Anyway, Rick Ross is always finding himself in hot water, and that's the funniest part about this. I mean, first of all, it was his name. You know, we all know the controversy surrounding his name. Then he got exposed for being a fraud and being a corrections officer, but he denied it. And then he finally turned around and admitted it. But, you know, he tries to spin it in a certain way. And then, you know, he had the incident with where his car got shot at. Supposedly there was a drive-by attempt on his life last year. And but there were no bullet holes in the car. And people like 50 Cent was calling him out, saying that it looked suspect and that, you know, it was set up or something like that. And then let's see what else. I mean, there's so many examples, right? I mean, then there was the GDs, right? The Gangsta Disciples incident, and Ross said he wasn't afraid of those guys when those gangsters, you know, that were coming for him apparently, and coming for his whole tour. Let them tell him. They said they were gonna shut down his whole tour, and Rick Ross said he wasn't scared and didn't care about none of that. And then what happened? They shut down his whole tour. Got shut down. And the most hilarious part about it was after his tour got shut down, you know, he had to defend himself, basically. And the people were asking him, well, what's the deal with all this? And so he goes on the radio, and all he says is, gangsters move in silence. Gangsters move in silence. It was the funniest thing I ever heard. Everything that guy does is priceless to me, and there's nothing funnier than to see that dude backpedaling or see him in spin mode, or when he's trying to, you know, talk his way out of a situation because he know he got himself into some shit and he's trying to back his way out of it. It's hilarious. I'd love to see Rick Ross like be like a PR representative for somebody, or maybe he can start his own PR firm for other rappers that get into hot water because he's got so much experience with it at this point. I mean, there's really no other excuse or there's no other reason why he shouldn't do it. It's another career option. I don't know. It's either like that or like professional wrestler or PR representative. Like, that's pretty much the list of things that Rick Ross could do after his rap career is over. So actually, come to think of it, he might be a better wrestler than he is either a rapper or a PR representative. I mean, y'all used to watch WWF back in the day, right? Like back in like the late 80s and early 90s. Remember Kamala the Ugandan Giant? Y'all remember Kamala? Ross looked just like him, right?
What it is, are y'all? Center hill, see the half, what it do? Hey, Church Street, South Grand, stand up. King, man. Yeah. Here we go.
What up? What's happening,
baby?
Are you haters?
Hey. I know you had a good time, didn't you?
It's
all good. All your hard work didn't go unnoticed.
Hey.
I ain't stopping nothing, though, baby.
So what up? What's happening? Are you haters?
Do man, still the man from Japan to the blue flame. Still hit the door and make it rain with the loose chain. I bet that what he get a show. Now that's a damn shame. I get that what he hate for. Oh boy, you so damn lame. You click the same, a dusty bunch of walking shit stain. Disgrace the A, you get a city, such a bad name. You ain't back in my rearview mirror, I'm in the bad lane. Still I hear you loud and clear on your little song. Gone, get you dissing on why the king gone. Your self-esteem gone, cause I'm back now. Let's see if we can't teach these niggas how to act now. You kissing ass then, you jumping bad now. I check your ass then, I shut your ass down. And I deliver front center, never back down. Who get the lad lad now, sucker nigga?
What up? What's happening?
What's happening, man?
Are you happy?
Side street hustle, center hill, see the app, that's where I be, sucker. South Grand Church Street, the first with the work, but we can get it to commercial if you need some church. Hey, what I care about who you asking, saying they ain't heard of me. I'm certified, certainly, them videos ain't hurting me. I still ride with the window rolled down all around that A-town like it's finna go down. If it was ever any questions, niggas finna know now. Won't retire my throne or surrender no crown. I never bow down and never say that. Mr. Woman may concern and whosoever may try. I'm forever with side and the featherweight guys. Tell them take your best shot. Go on, get yourself out. Cause I yell bankhead and you feel left out. I ain't mention your name. That's what all this about.
What up? What's happening?
What's
are you hating?
Heels up in Hollywood, a house full, getting to it, you know how we do it. Yeah, we smoke great, and we drink good. Then we ball hard, just like G should. Buy what we want, drive what we want. G4 up and away we go, we fly where we want. Hey, smile like they like it when they really
really don't. Wish they could just wish me away, that's what they really want. I really hate his ass, I don't like him either. We do a song together, maybe then we can beat him. Somehow he must be stopped, something must be done.
Knock him off, let's just try him when he get caught with guns.
Then he'll be really done, and we really won. Any more ideas?
I got some suggestions, anyone?
How about we stay up all night on the brawl site? Spread vicious lies and nasty rumors, we got all right.
But that's all right, let the nerves hate. Cause in my face though, the words get ate. And hate is hard work when I just bounce back. This guard work, tell all the haters I'm back.
What up? What's happening?
What's happening, baby?
That was a little T.I.P. What up? What happening? A little Shorty Low diss. I mean, we don't have any problem with Shorty Low, but I love that song, though, so it had to get played. J.B. Hicks again, Hip Hop Sports Report podcast again. College football. Here we are now. We got two teams that are now vying for the national championship spot with undefeated records, respect to Northern Illinois, but I hope they take that good L from my Bowling Green Falcons on Friday night, but in the MAC championship game. But of course, we're talking about Florida State and Ohio State. Both of those two teams are undefeated. Florida State's now number one in the country after Alabama took an L. Alabama got dropped on Saturday by Auburn. I should say they got shocked by Auburn on Saturday, because that the ending to that game, let me tell y'all something. I've watched a lot of games. I've watched a lot of football games in my life. I've seen a lot of them in person. I've seen a lot of them on television. I've watched thousands upon thousands of athletic events and games in my life. That the ending to that Auburn-Alabama game, the Iron Bowl, was one of the best endings in the history of games. Like, not, I'm not talking about like just college football games or just sporting events. I'm talking about like, you know, chutes and ladders, chess, you know what I'm saying? Hopscotch, however you win that game. Is that a game that you win? I don't even know. But it's the best ending in the history of games. Like, you just won't see that too often. I mean, it was just incredible. The fact that they put that extra second back on the clock, and then Nick Saban went ahead and tried to kick that field goal with that freshman kicker. It wasn't his best moment. And you could see him on the sideline saying, like, I told you. Like, I don't even know if that was his call. But it didn't work out. And Auburn was able to return the kick down the sideline. And bedlam ensued in Auburn, Alabama. And it was just a lot of fun to watch. I was jumping all over the living room when I was watching it. Because, again, I'm an Ohio State fan. I'm a Buckeye lifer. Born and raised in Ohio, and so I had a rooting interest in that game for sure, because Ohio State was on the outside looking in, even though they had barely beat Michigan, which that's a whole other situation. They barely get by Michigan, although I think that was Michigan's best game. They gave Ohio State their best game, and Ohio State did not play their best game. And you know, thankfully for the Buckeyes, they were still able to pull that out at the end when Brady Hoke gambled on that 2-point conversion and failed. But what we saw between Bama and Auburn was Ohio State actually got a chance to sneak into the national championship picture seriously this time, because Alabama fell from the ranks of the unbeaten. And so now Bama is out of the picture for now. And we have Auburn and Missouri going at it in the SEC championship game. We have Florida State and Duke, of all teams, right? Duke. They're going to be going at it in the ACC championship game, and Ohio State is going to take on 10th-ranked Michigan State in the Big Ten championship game on Saturday in Indianapolis. Huge national championship ramifications for all three games, obviously. And what I noticed still, there's a lot of a lot of hatred, a lot of maybe not even hatred, but just a lot of skepticism of the Buckeyes. And I understand it. Hey, again, the schedule was not sensational. They haven't played a lot of great teams. I understand that. They've blown out their fair share of teams, though, for starters. I mean, it's funny because when you watch the conversation on television, people say, well, you know, Ohio State, it wasn't all that impressive against Illinois. You know, that game comes up quite often. And they weren't for the majority of that game. But down the stretch, maybe the last 5 minutes, they scored like 21 points. And they ended up putting 60 on Illinois. And so I'm not so sure why they weren't impressive when they put 60 on a team and they beat them by like 25 or 30 points. I don't really get that, but there's that. The Buckeyes beat Wisconsin. They're a pretty good team. They beat Northwestern. They weren't dominant in any of these games, though, and I think that's what's really coming back to hurt them in the eyes of the public and possibly in the eyes of the BCS voters and that in the system there. But when I look at Auburn, though, Auburn is a very good team, and so I don't want to and completely discredit them, and so they deserve to be in the discussion. I don't think they deserve to leapfrog Ohio State, though, and I'll tell you why. There's one main reason why Auburn doesn't deserve to leapfrog Ohio State into the national championship game to face Florida State, and as of now, and that is because they lost, y'all. They already lost. Like, you can't lose. Like, this is the name of the game. This is what everybody signed up for at the beginning of the season. You can't lose and expect to get into the national championship game. You can lose early and you can, you know, fight your way back into the discussion. We've seen that many times over the years. We see that pretty much every year there's a one-loss team in there. But you can't lose at the beginning of the season and then just think it's going to be owed to you if you go undefeated. I don't care if you beat Alabama or not. And frankly, Auburn probably didn't even deserve to win that game. I mean, I shouldn't say that. That's disrespectful. I don't mean it that way. But what I do mean is they came very close to losing that game. There was a high probability that game was going to go into overtime. And once you get into overtime, there's no telling what could happen. I mean, Alabama had just hit them with a 99-yard touchdown pass to take the lead in that game before Auburn came back and tied it. But, if it goes into overtime, how confident are we that Auburn pulls that game out? I mean, I'm not so sure that they do, right? And then when you really step back and look at Auburn's season, they should have lost three times because they had no business beating Georgia. And I don't even think Georgia's ranked anymore. You know, I mean, obviously the Aaron Murray injury aside, I don't think that they're even ranked right now. And, you know, Georgia's a good team, but they've lost several times this year. And they were about to take an L to Georgia on their home field until they got lucky on a Hail Mary and they win that game. But now everybody looks at them and say, oh, well, they only got one loss, and they beat Georgia, and they beat all these, and they beat Alabama. It's like, well, they damn near lost to Alabama. They definitely, or I said probably should have lost to Georgia, right? And then they did lose to LSU. And so why is it that Auburn all of a sudden deserves to be in a championship game? You know, if they beat Missouri, then that's another conversation. Maybe you can, you know, talk me into that then, maybe. But I, to be honest with you, I don't even think that they... I don't even know if they're going to beat Missouri on Saturday. I think Missouri's got a really good team, and I think they got a great chance to beat Auburn coming off of that game against Bama. That was definitely a feel-good game for them. The euphoria that ensued, the fact that they won these two miraculous games at the end. I mean, there's two ways to look at it. You could say they're a team of destiny, or you could say they're due for a loss. And I think they might be due, y'all. I don't know. But we'll see on Saturday what they do with the Missouri Tigers. I think the Missouri Tigers are going to pull that one out, though, and it'll be fascinating to see what happens then. And then, obviously, the Buckeyes, they're in a no-win situation because... which is a shame when you think about it. I mean, they've won 24 games in a row, y'all. They've won 24 games in a row. And if they beat Michigan State on Saturday, the narrative is going to be, well, they beat a Michigan State team that didn't beat anybody this year. And so I understand that. You know, Michigan State's, you know, they're in the Big Ten too, so their record isn't, you know, although they only have one loss, they don't look like world beaters. You know, but at the same time, they are still the 10th ranked team in the country, right? And if the Buckeyes beat them, it's going to be, well, Michigan State didn't beat anybody. If the Buckeyes lose to Michigan State, then it's going to be like, well, they were frauds all along, right? And so there's not a position where Ohio State can come out of this thing looking good in the eyes of the public, I guess, unless they beat Michigan State like 70-3. That's like the only option that they have. you know, to where people won't be questioning their credentials going into the national championship game against Florida State, which is the team that they will face. And it'd be, you know, to me, it'd be different if we were talking about Northern Illinois, not to bring them back into the fold again, but allow me to bring them back into the fold once again. If we were talking about Northern Illinois, you know, that'd be one thing. The Buckeyes are a powerhouse football team and have been year after year after year. I mean, you know, you might criticize them for losing to the SEC in the championship game a couple of times, but they still got to the national championship game a couple of times and three times within the last 10 years, and they win the Big Ten basically every single year. So, it's, you know, we're not talking about, you know, Pop Warner here. We're talking about the Ohio State Buckeyes. Let's not act like this is Northern Illinois or this is a MAC school or some, you know, Mountain West school or something like that. You know, this is a big-time program. And this ain't the Luke Fickell coach Buckeyes from a few years ago. This is Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer is a two-time national champion. Urban Meyer has turned around like four programs in his college coaching career. Urban Meyer has not lost a game since he's come to Columbus. This team, you know, and to be honest with you, most teams would kill for a combination like Braxton Miller and Carlos Hyde, right? Like, how many teams would Braxton Miller and Carlos Hyde not start for, even if you put them in the SEC? Like, you think Auburn wouldn't, you know, I mean, I'm sure Auburn's very happy with Marshall and Mason, but, I mean, if they had their choice between them and and Braxton Miller and Carlos Hyde, I mean, let's be real. I mean, that's a tough decision, at least, you know. If not, they're going to be running to Columbus. They're going to be driving the bus to Columbus to try to pick up those guys. So, I mean, I think that Braxton Miller and Carlos Hyde is one of the most prolific duos in college football, and it's just a shame that even after winning all these games, they still don't get any respect. One of my followers and good friends, Anthony Houston, you can follow him on Twitter, at AKHouston, H-U-E-S-T-O-N. He pointed out to me that he was talking with somebody, or he heard somebody say, you know, what does Ohio State have to do to get a shot at the national championship? Go undefeated 3 years in a row? Because they went undefeated last year, but they couldn't get in because of the sanctions. And some people feel like even if they go undefeated and beat Michigan State, that they still wouldn't deserve to be in there. And so it's like, so they got to go undefeated 3 years in a row to get a shot at one championship game. Like, that just doesn't sound right to me. So, you know, we'll see what that happens. But it's just funny to see these schools getting a pass on their past performances. All these SEC schools in particular getting credit for their past performances, but the Big Ten schools not getting that same pass. And so, again, we'll see how that plays out on Saturday. I think ultimately we're going to see Ohio State and Florida State in the national championship game with Jameis Winston, who apparently it's just come out today that he will not be charged in that sexual assault incident involving that young lady. So, again, very happy that Jameis, for his sake, that he's not going to be charged. And, you know, I don't know what happened with him and that young lady. I hope the best for that young lady. If she was, in fact, assaulted, that's a shame. And, you know, only the truth, only they know the truth, man. I don't really know. Again, you wouldn't wish that on anybody. And so hopefully that young lady finds closure, and hopefully Jameis Winston is able to get past this incident as well. Moving on to the NFL. Quickly, the Seattle Seahawks slapped the hell out of the New Orleans Saints on Monday night. And again, it goes back to how I've always felt about these Monday night teams. These indoor dome teams, you just can't trust them in the outdoors, in the elements, in the cold, when it gets to December, January, after the leaves and fell off the trees and stuff, and we start seeing some snowflakes come down, the big boys come out to play. And if you don't have home field, lots of luck. And we saw that with the Saints. A lot of people were back on the Saints bandwagon. I was actually a non-believer at the beginning of the year. I didn't think they'd make the playoffs, but they've proved me wrong. And so, you know, hats off to them for that. However, if you think that they're going to go out to San Francisco and win a playoff game, you're mistaken, because they lost one there recently. If you think they're going to go up to Seattle and win a playoff game, you're mistaken, because they lost one there recently too. There's a reason for this, y'all. Drew Brees, he plays all of his games indoors. He goes outside, he's not the same dude. The offense doesn't run the same. You know, I don't make the rules, y'all. This is just the way it is. You know, these indoor teams that have to go outdoors in the playoffs, it doesn't look good for y'all. And these indoor quarterbacks that have to go outdoors and play in the elements and win, it doesn't look good for them either. Peyton Manning's the same way. And I've been hammering this point home on Peyton Manning and the Broncos. You know, even though they're an outdoor team, Peyton Manning is not an outdoor quarterback. He played indoors for 15 years, and now he's trying to play outdoors in December and January, and he's 0-1 in the playoffs since he's gotten to Denver. And, you know, they might win a game or two this year. I mean, they got a good team, so Denver has a shot. I mean, I'm not saying they don't have a shot to get there, but, I mean, you can pick the Denver Broncos in the playoffs if you want to. I'm not going to be that guy. I don't think they're going to even make it to New York. And if they make it to New York, how would you pick them against the Seahawks? Like, I just don't see how you could do that. The Seahawks, again, is the team that we projected to win the Super Bowl at the beginning of the season. And they're holding up their end of the bargain, not like our AFC pick, which was the Houston Texans. But anyway, yeah. So the final wild card spot in the AFC is completely up for grabs. You got what seems like, I don't know, 6 or 7 teams fighting for one spot. I still think the Baltimore Ravens have a shot at getting there. I know they haven't looked good all season, but I had them in the playoffs from the beginning of the year. I think that they can still get there. They can lean on that championship experience. At least the offense can. The defense is pretty much gone. They gutted the defense, which is why they're not that good now anyways, or part of the reason why. But I think they'll still be able to lean on that experience from last year to carry them through. Although I will say that the Ravens do have an extremely tough schedule down the stretch. They face Detroit, New England, and Cincinnati to close the season, and I think only one of those games is at home against the Patriots. The other two are on the road, so it's going to be tough, man. It's going to be tough for Baltimore to try to get there. They do have Minnesota this week, so that's a must-win because Minnesota's not very good, and so you have to win those games that you're supposed to win at this point in the season if you want to get into the dance. Big win for the Denver Broncos on Sunday. They defeated the Chiefs in Kansas City, so that's twice in 3 weeks they've beaten the Chiefs, and now all of a sudden the Chiefs have crashed back to earth in a hurry, and they're now just looking like another team out there. I mean, they were 9-0, now they're 9-3, and you know, they're not facing backup quarterbacks anymore. They're not feasting on those teams. They face Manning, Rivers, and then Manning again, and they got picked apart 3 straight times. So it's not looking good for them. I'm not sure. You know, but again, they're just one of those teams that I don't trust. And when it comes back to the issue of trust when I'm picking these teams in the NFL, who do you trust to win these big games? What quarterback do you trust? What defense do you trust to get a stop when you need it? What head coach do you trust to not even win the game for you, but just to not screw up the game? And it's a short list. It's a short list when you factor in the weather and the elements and all that. Kansas City, not on that list. And so, you know, I thought they were a little bit of a pretender all along. Now they're facing some stiffer competition, and they've taken it on the chin 3 times in a row. So they got to get that thing straightened out. And I wouldn't be shocked if they lost to Washington this weekend. I'm just going to put that out there. You know, the slide might be, you know, this might be a bigger issue than what we thought, especially with the injuries they have to their pass rushers. You know, we'll see if the Redskins can give them a game. The Redskins suck, too. So if they lose to the Redskins, you know, you can sound the alarm officially at that point. The Bears and the Cowboys play on Monday night this weekend. That should be an interesting game because, yeah, I don't know what we call this game. It's like the fade-off, right? It's like two teams that love to fade down the stretch. So which team is going to out-fade the other one and catch a fade? I don't know. You have Dallas, who, you know, their record with Tony Romo in December is horrendous, despite their magnificent November record. And then you have the Bears, who look like a Super Bowl contender each of the last several years until December rolls around, and then they forgot how to play football, you know? So this game should be fascinating to watch on Monday in Chicago, in the weather, in the elements of Soldier Field. I don't know. I like the Bears to win that game, but this is the game that you would expect both of those teams to lose. You would expect the Bears to lose this game because the Bears are good for losing games that you don't expect them to lose. This is the game where I'm picking the Bears, but then they'll probably turn around and lose. And the same thing with the Cowboys, you know, they're good for snatching defeat from the jaws of victory, and nobody does it better than them. So it'll be just fun to watch both of those teams work their ass off to try to give this game away. I'm really looking forward to it. Gonna get into a little bit of NBA talk here coming up, and we'll close out the show. It's the Hip Hop Sports Report podcast. Follow us on Twitter at HHS Reports, and hit up our website, hiphopsportsreport.com. We appreciate the love and support always.
Let the show begin. All systems go. Much. Thank y'all for listening. Spawn Tickle.
mortgage, nigga, and my bills. Fuck am I fooling? New tickle-o.
Ayo, stand clear. You are not a man if you cannot stand here. Fun, Tickle-o make the song cry grown man tears. With that Bull City flow off the corner of Austin and Angier. Sex symbol rap, you niggas is playing Greer. We throw bowls like Bill Lambeer. Plant fear the first time around, no do-overs. Where the fuck is my glass of sangria? Get a sip, then get another sip, then go back to the mothership and tell them I'm on that separate excrement. Yeah, that other shit. Run and tell mother it's clearly not your time yet. Cause you to me is Dr. Seuss to a Steinbeck. A pro with the pros, what a concept. And I cut this shit in half, cause I ain't feel like waking. They say everybody got a story, so here's mine. It ain't heartbreaking, because I've taken the sour grapes of wrath and made cheer wine. They didn't see shit, nigga, I feel fine. You know that I'm real, 10 years still here, no worse for the wear. Nigga, I'm ill, and I'm still top notch. You niggas is better off playing hopscotch in a minefield. Better off warring in the jungle with no camouflaging. Suicide mission. Straight sabotaging, flow so addictive, it's like habit forming, flow hair raising, it's like rabbit farming. Peter Cottontail hopping over beats of rocking acapella since the days of Akinel, nigga. Yo, I'm back in the kitchen with a silk apron, let that boy saute. I said, let me know the troubles on your mind, young blood, and Lord willing, me and you will solve them. He said, Tay, I worry about you in the rap game. I said, motherfucker, go and get a real problem. Please beg pardon, but I'm not starving. This rap shit is not the life I live. It's a tool that I use, that's it. No great fortune to show for it, but fortunate that no one can say his life ain't his. Some might even say underachiever, cause they are not believers that I don't want the world. But I done seen the world, and if you ever saw it, hell, you wouldn't want it either. I don't need a kingdom, just want a home. You can take a seat, or you can take the throne. As long as it is known, ain't a damn thing changed. Still the underground king, nigga, dance in the rain, holla.
But you're so glad that I made it. I couldn't ask for more.
One time, yeah.
This world is yours.
Yup, it's your man JB Hicks back. Hip Hop Sports Report Podcast. Figure we get into a little basketball talk before we close the show out today. Portland Trailblazers. They're the story of the day. I think the Pacific Northwest, this is their week right now. We had the Seahawks go up and destroy the Saints on Monday night. And now the Blazers staying red hot after defeating the Indiana Pacers and the Oklahoma City Thunder in succession. That's impressive. Because I don't know if y'all know it or not, but the Pacers have the best record in the NBA, and they've only lost, I think, two or three ball games all season. Two ball games, I believe, all season. And so we have Portland looking like a for real contender early on in the season. And we had the Blazers making the playoffs this year, so it's not a total shock to us. I did not expect them, though, to perform to this level so far. But I will say that most of Portland's quality wins this year so far have been on their home floor in the Rose Garden. They only have one really good road win, and that was against Golden State. Outside of that, they beat up on a lot of Eastern Conference teams on the road, and they played San Antonio, Oklahoma City, and Indiana, and Chicago all at home, and they won all those games. And the Chicago game was the game that D. Rose went down. So, and we haven't had a chance to discuss D. Rose yet. You know, we mentioned him on the first podcast just at the end of the show, just hoping that he was okay. And as it turns out, he is done for the season with after tearing his meniscus, I believe, in his knee. Really just tragic for the league and for basketball fans everywhere and for the city of Chicago. That's just a really, really tough injury to get past. And we wish the best for Derrick Rose, and we hope for a speedy recovery, and because the league is better with him. And frankly, you know, I'm tired. I'm just going on a tangent right quick. I'm just sick of the Miami Heat just waltzing into the NBA Finals every season. I mean, and don't get me wrong, they're good, and they deserved it. And we picked the Miami Heat to win the NBA championship before last year started. So it's not like I'm a Heat hater or I'm just I refuse to recognize their talent as a team or the talent of LeBron James as an individual, or I'm just a bitter Cleveland fan or anything like that. That's not the case. What I'm saying is they're getting a pass, it seems like, year after year when all these key players in the East are going down with injuries. And that's what happened. That's what last season's playoffs were marred by injuries. I mean, we saw Rondo go down and Melo was playing hurt and Stoudemire was hurt and Derrick Rose was out and Danny Granger was hurt. And everybody that had a chance of even making Miami work for a title seemed to have some kind of significant injury issue, except for the Heat themselves. They had their little nicks and, you know, whatever, but they were, by and large, they were healthy enough to have everybody have all their horses out there on the floor. And, you know, we're seeing them struggle. They get down two games to the Heat, you know, they come out, they lose the first game of this series, they take a night off, whatever, but then they still rise to the occasion in the end. But it's a lot easier for them to rise to the occasion when all these other teams are facing debilitating injuries, and they, the Miami Heat, lucky for them, have not suffered the same fate. And so I was really looking forward to seeing the Chicago Bulls challenge the Heat this year. Let's see a scenario in which Chicago has to go through, Miami has to go through Chicago and Indiana, you know, something like that. Or they have to play, you know, two pretty good teams as opposed to just going up against, you know, multiple teams with their star players out of the lineup. Derrick Rose going down really, really, puts a black cloud over the Eastern Conference playoffs now once again. And it's reflected in the play of the rest of the East. I mean, they've had injuries, but the East in general has not been very good. There's only two teams above 500 in the Eastern Conference. And I think there's been some arguments for, like, realignment, or, like, that the playoffs should, you know, they should just take the 16 best teams with the best record. No, they shouldn't. Knock it off. They don't need to do anything like that. Just the teams in the Eastern Conference need to get better. The young players in the Eastern Conference that have been taken with these high lottery picks all these years, you know, the Kyrie Irvings, the Deion Waiters, the Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, you know, the John Walls of the world, these guys need to start stepping up and turning their teams into winners, you know, because that's why you get those high lottery picks, so you can turn your franchise around. The wins got to start coming, y'all. They got to come sooner or later, right? The teams out west, you know, they're not picking that high because they win every year. But it's bizarre that the Western Conference has dominated the Eastern Conference for like 10 years now. I mean, even though the NBA champion is from the East, I mean, just on the whole, the conference has not stacked up to the West. And it's been like that year after year after year. And I thought it would have turned around by now. Maybe after this loaded 2014 class comes in, maybe then, in a couple of years after that, I guess, we'll start to see the fruits of that labor. But, you know, here we are with the Knicks and the Nets also looking horrible, to say the least. They play tonight on TNT, and it's going to be fun to watch Charles Barkley rail against this game, because, you know, he's going to be complaining all night about having to sit and watch the Knicks and the Nets play. We had both teams in the playoffs, but I don't see how they've been this bad. I didn't know the Knicks had only won like three ball games this year. Like, I was stunned when I saw that, and I knew the Nets were trash, but the Knicks were garbage too. And with the Nets, I think it's pretty obvious they didn't get the right coach for that team. Much respect to Jason Kidd, the player. Jason Kidd, the coach, needed a little bit of seasoning. And what they did was they went out and they paid for this expensive-ass team, and they went out and they let a 16-year-old kid, and they handed, no pun intended, they gave the keys to the franchise, to a Ferrari, to a 16-year-old kid, and told him to drive it to Vegas. That's basically what they did. And you don't flip the keys to a kid in this situation. You give the keys to somebody that knows how to drive a little bit. And you're going to spend all this money on the team itself and then not go get George Karl or somebody to run the team. I don't understand why you would do that. And now you got Jason Kidd spilling drinks on the floor. He's just making an ass of himself. It's ridiculous. And funny is that we've seen Mike Tomlin do the same thing in the NFL, just with the shade, you know what I'm saying, on the sideline, that whole thing. We've seen coaches doing some weird stuff lately. But both of those guys have now copped to their mistake, thankfully. And but nonetheless, we have Jason Kidd just making a buffoon of himself. We got Lawrence Frank is getting demoted, the assistant coach. He's now pushing papers and stuff instead of being a top flight assistant, which is what he was brought in there to be. And now I don't even think he wants to be there anymore. I think I read a report saying that he wants to get out of Brooklyn altogether. You look at the money that's being wasted on these two teams this year. I think they'll turn it around though. I mean, I think both teams will get into the playoffs somehow. I mean, because the East is that bad, and it's still you know, December 5th. So, I mean, it's crazy early here on in the season. And so I think that both teams have time to turn it around, but neither one it has looked remotely watchable to this point. And so that is a shame, I guess. I mean, I don't know, man. Those teams suck. The Pacers, again, just to touch on them real quick, best record in the NBA still. Paul George, legit. This kid is unbelievable. We called him the total package last year. He's Lex Luger of the NBA. He's the total package. He's put the whole damn league in the torture rack right now. The game, if you haven't seen the highlights of the game in Portland, they lost that game. But go back and watch Paul George YouTube highlights from that Portland game. It was unbelievable. He's like, he couldn't miss. I mean, I'm sure they edited out all the bricks. I mean, I get that. But he hit like 5 threes in the last 3 minutes of the game. He had 43 points. He was just unreal. And we know what kind of defender he is. The Pacers are real deal, y'all. I mean, I was skeptical coming into the season. I knew that they would give Miami and all the best teams in the East a run for their money, but I didn't see the fire in them. Like, I never got the feeling that they believed that they could beat the Miami Heat, and that's why I picked against them this year. They're a better team than they were last year. They got a better bench than they had last year, and Chicago's now falling off, so they're out of the picture as far as contending for the Eastern Championship. And there's really only one team that's standing in their way. It's the Miami Heat. They're not going to beat Miami unless they really look at each other in that locker room and believe that they can beat Miami. And once we get to that point, I'll think about picking them over the Heat in a 7-game series. But until then, it's just Miami's world, and there's nothing that we could do about it. Out in the West, we have the San Antonio Spurs coming out the Western Conference. If you read our preseason preview, we had them coming out the West and winning the NBA championship this year, and they have not disappointed. The Spurs are just rolling along, just doing what the Spurs do, you know, getting a great game every once in a while from Tony Parker, great game from Tim Duncan. You know, he went the other night, I think he had like a 20-20 game or something like that, hit the game winner against Atlanta. Just, the guy's timeless, man, what can you say? And so, all those other teams in the West, you know, I don't take any of them seriously in the playoffs. The only other team that I can really take seriously right now is Oklahoma City, and I still think they're a player away. They need another score to make up for what they lost from James Harden last year and Kevin Martin, or 2 years ago and Kevin Martin last year. They haven't really found that third option yet, unless it's going to be Ibaka, and I'm still skeptical of that. It'd be nice if they could get a post scorer in there, but we'll see what they can do. There's still a lot of time left in the season. As for like the Clippers and the Rockets, you know, the Rockets are okay, but they haven't really taken the league by storm like a lot of people thought. And Omer Asik is trying his best to submarine their entire season until they can trade him. I don't really see what Houston can do. And they can't defend anybody. I mean, go back and watch the YouTube video of James Harden trying to play defense against the Clippers. That video is hilarious. So there, we can't take the Rockets seriously until they decide that they want to at least try to play defense. And the same thing with the Clippers. I was anti-Clippers this year. I was pro-Clippers last year. I still support them because I think Chris Paul is the best point guard in the game, and he's my favorite player to watch. But I don't take them seriously as a championship contender right now because they got to solve that problem in the middle. They need somebody that can really protect the rim and serve as an anchor for that defense. I don't know if DeAndre Jordan's that guy. Even though he's been improved this year, I don't know if he's that guy going forward. And they, you know, they don't have anybody on the wings that can really stop anybody either outside of Matt Barnes. So they got a lot to figure out still, too. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Hip Hop Sports Report Podcast. Number 2. Woo! The second edition of the podcast. But we thank you all for listening, and we'll talk to you guys in the near future, hopefully. Maybe next week, maybe sooner than that. But we'll see how it goes. Peace to everybody out there listening and supporting the podcast and the website. Twitter.com/HHSReport. HipHopSportsReport.com is where you can find us. Peace, y'all.